As we stand, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The series for September, Old Camel Knees, the name you get when you spend a lot of time on your knees praying. Did you just hear that epistle lesson? The tongue is a fire. I'll expand that a little bit by saying texting can kill. Drinking the poison of bullying words on social media has led to several teen suicides. It's like our Bible author James could see today's mess of media mind traps. So there are life skills we can learn from James, affectionately known as Old Camel Knees. Because of years of praying on his knees and talking to his brother, the Messiah, Jesus. So I encourage you each week of the series to read the Bible passage before you come to church. So it's on page 5 of the September update, page 5, so you can read the passage before you come to church. So taming the tongue, and I've, like I said, expanded this a little bit to taming the thumb. So let's tackle the tongue. James writes in chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, "But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God." Whether intentionally or not, words can bless or curse. Let's take the example of a patient going to see a physician. Now, a physician might reach for a metaphorical expression to explain their diagnosis. Frequently, these metaphors strike the patient in unintended, sometimes needlessly frightening ways. A physician enters a patient's hospital room and says to the patient, "Good morning. So, tell me, how is your chest pain?" And without leaving time for the patient to answer, the doctor continues, "I just reviewed the pictures of your catheterization. You have a severe blockage, and you may be a living time bomb. It may be a TS." And the physician is busy and wants to convey information quickly and leaves the room. By TS, the doctor meant tricuspid stenosis, a heart disease that restricts blood flow through the valve, a treatable condition. But the patient, according to a report that she gave her son afterwards, interpreted TS as terminal situation. The patient was too afraid to ask the physician for confirmation. She died later that day. Now, the lesson for this, perhaps, is to be proactive when the doctor comes to see you, is to try to be as assertive as you can, because you have to look after your own, you have to advocate for yourself. Your husband or wife may not be there, so you have to really, because the doctor is this authority figure, comes in, the male or female doctor just comes in, and you feel overwhelmed by it. You really have to say, stop, explain, tell me. So words, right? Words can, in a very real way, affect us. So words can put others down, intentionally or unintentionally. Either in person or when communicating on the computer or on your phone. So taming the thumb. So most of us would perhaps, some have interconnectivity, whether it's our tablet, our phone, or whatever, playing video games, whatever it is. No, it's totally fun stuff. I totally get it. My children, Instagram, Twitter, whatever it is, they're always communicating with each other, doing these little short little videos, they're smiling into the phone, doing their whatever, and it's quite fun. You get to a movie theater, and you see a little warning on the screen. Remember that? Don't be a Tommy Texter. Turn off your phone, or whatever, right? So it's out there in society as something that's obviously a huge distraction. Classrooms, the same issue, whether it's in a school classroom. So because of the nature of the apps and the nature of people, the same apps that are used for fun can be used to bully and say unkind, mean, hateful, or even threats of violence on the phone. So unlike bullying that happened when I was a kid, you know, you get shoved into a locker or whatever, then you went home on the bus. Maybe the bus ride wasn't much fun either, but anyway, you got home, and hopefully there wasn't too much bullying going on at home. In my house, at least there wasn't. Maybe there was in your house. Maybe it just didn't stop. But sometimes you try to find a safe place someplace. But for a kid who's carrying around this mini computer in your pocket or in your purse, you got it with you all the time. And there's no stopping it. And you want to use it to communicate with your friends, but then there's this other thing. Or if you're computer, your URL gets hacked and somebody takes your personality and then sends up messages. They think it's coming from you. And 1 in 4 get bullied every minute, and apparently 1 million get bullied every month. It's an epidemic. Taming the thumb. How many people are going to hear this message? 100 people? 150 people? Now, if you go to our website, christchurchoshawa.ca, you'll see sermons. I invite you to click on our website, find the sermon, and email the link to somebody. And maybe there's something in there for somebody else can benefit by. Because if we want to stop it, we need to figure a way of addressing it, whether you're a religious person or not, for people's mental health as well as their spiritual health. So go on the website, check sermon out. It'll be there either the rest this week or sometime, right, darling? So James writes, from the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. From the same phone, right, comes blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, James writes, this ought not to be so. Does a spring bring forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree yield olives? Or a grapevine, figs? Or a GM plant, Oshawa, Kia cars? Well, James didn't say that part, but you're not going to get a Kia car out of a GM plant. So, in other words, from the overflow of the heart or the mind or the central purpose, from the overflow of that come the words. James says what? He says, no human being, no one has ever been able to tame the tongue. If no one, I mean no human has been able to tame the tongue, maybe we need to look at Jesus. Because when he spoke, people listened. And they listened not because he was insulting them or getting negative attention. He was speaking in such a way that people really enjoyed listening to him. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the earth. When he said things, people listened. Whether they are a religious authority, political authorities, military authorities, people listened to Jesus. We need to listen to the words of Jesus. James learned from his brother, Jesus. He learned, and he's teaching us even today. So what is our mind set on? The Bible says to set your minds on things that are above. Well, what's above? Not just cumulus clouds. It's the higher way, the holy way, the way of God. God who in Christ would rather die than hate on people, despite their hateful actions toward him. Father, forgive them, Jesus said from the cross, for they know not what they do. Because he died on the cross, and in our baptism, do you know what the words are? The intention is to say that we are dying too. We are dying to the self that is selfish or protective to the point of being lashing out to protect. We're dying to the self and living in Christ, living in his word and in his power. He's already borne the cross to break the power of sin, to break the power of the tongue in its negative use or the thumb. The one who lives in you by faith has overcome the world. What would it be like if more Christians, more Christ followers would claim the power that already lives in us, the power of the Holy Spirit? To me, that would be living in victory, because you would stop from saying the negative thing. You would stop from pressing send, because you remember who you are. I belong to somebody who spoke good words, who spoke positive words, who spoke words of truth. I follow that one. So what's going to come out of my mouth? I want to reflect and honor the one to whom I belong. I want to have victory in this area. Maybe this is an issue for a lot of people. Maybe you're not a gossiper. You're not a zinger putting people down with your funny remarks. But really, it's putting people down. Maybe that's not you. But sometimes we get to the point where we're doing something we don't like. Like for me, it's plumbing. And we say some things that probably we shouldn't be saying. It shouldn't be coming out of my mouth. So I call a friend, you know, like, who wants to be a millionaire? Who wants to be a plumber, in my case? Call a friend, and he comes and helps me with the plumbing. So what I would like to suggest that we do just for a moment as a little thing to reinforce this point is to turn to someone near you and say, I'm learning to live in victory. I'm learning to live in victory. I'm learning to live in victory. I'm not there yet, but I'm learning.
Oh, we are.
Yeah. We need each other for this journey of learning, connecting, growing. We need each other to learn to live in victory. So part of the answer here is to think before you speak and to think before you text. The scriptures say, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Consuming intoxicants overmuch can make us act out in ways that aren't our normal selves. Something else is in control. When the Holy Spirit governs your speech, you'll know it because you wouldn't have said it that way on your own. When you request God to govern your tongue or your thumb, he will meet you in the need at that very moment, even though you hadn't decided to say what you said. It happens as you're speaking that God will give you an idea or an illustration or an affirmation of someone else to bless them. And it's beautiful to be open to God to bless someone else with your words, to affirm them. Maybe you could practice it this morning. Words of affirmation. Maybe it's somebody you don't even met. Maybe you like the way that Gloria played this morning. Thank you, Gloria, for playing that the way you played it. Someone, it's a nice upbeat song or whatever. Find some word of affirmation among ourselves. Maybe it's someone, one of the wardens. Maybe it's our treasurer, whatever it is. A word of affirmation. It goes a long way. You're getting lunch served. Someone's serving you lunch. Thanks for the lunch. You don't even look them in the eye. Look them in the eye. Ask them the first name. You're doing a fantastic job at this restaurant. It just might make their day. Words of affirmation can be a huge blessing. So it can go both ways. So think before you speak and think before you text. To be open to God working in that moment. Now, there's one fellow who tackled this issue, even though he's just another human being. His name is Isaiah. And he said this, woe is me, for I live among a bunch of people, that was his nation of Israel, I live among a bunch of people who have unclean lips. I live among people who have unclean lips. In other words, they speak filth out of their mouth. And they're so used to it, they've forgotten that it's filth. So he says, on behalf of his nation, he's on his knees and he says, woe is me. And he's in tears because they've forgotten what it means to live clean. This happens when he's confronted with the holy God, with the angels in his vision. The angels are filling the temple. It's like, you can imagine angels swirling around inside Christ Church, swirling around and saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. You can just imagine that. And how beautiful is God on the throne? And he feels this way, that he's not worthy. But an angel comes and takes something painful and touches it to his lips. In his vision, he experiences this, and his guilt is taken away, and he's able to then receive from God not just the vision of feeling unworthy, but the magic and the power of being able to get on his feet. And when he hears the voice of God saying, who will go for me? Isaiah sticks up his hand and says, here I am. I'll go. When you're confronted with that which is holy, maybe that's why people don't like reading the Bible. Maybe that's why they don't want to come to church, because they feel they're not holy, they're not good enough to come to church. To me, this is a hospital, not a museum. It's where people get rescued and saved and helped along the way. It's where we recognize that we're imperfect, broken people. Church is for broken people. That's what I am. I need God. And we need each other in that process. There's nothing to hide. None of us here is perfect. None of us has said perfect things, right? We all need to recognize that. Pastor Tony Evans says, if we ever over-talk God, we allow our speech to be so loud that we cannot hear God's voice. We watch our speed in talking and our speech achieve nothing. Do you know people who like that? They talk over other people? And you try to get in there, but no, they're still talking. And you try to say, no, they're still talking. Maybe they have a hearing problem, to be generous. Maybe we do that. So what I'm suggesting is, just a couple of words of suggesting of application for this. The first is that if you're baptized, if you're a baptized believer, remember that the baptism came at a price. It came at the price of Christ's life. So you're dead, Christ lives in you. Therefore, the word to remember about the tongue and the text thing, this is the word, surrender. surrender. We maybe know the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's what it's about. Every day, here's my calendar, here's my agenda, here's my people I'm going to be meeting today at my volunteer or my work or my driving down the highway. I surrender all of that to you, God. I'm surrendering my whole day. And as I surrender my day, I'm going to surrender my tongue. I'm going to surrender my thumb. I'm going to surrender to you because what you got to give me is way better than what the radio is telling me the traffic is like or whatever, right? Surrendering my day to you, God. That's the first S. Keep it simple as you surrender. Wait, if you're praying, keep your eyes open while you're driving. I just recommend that usually if you're the only person in the car. If you're taking the GO train, you know, close your eyes if you want to. Surrender. Keep it simple. If you take some time to read the Bible passage like James chapter 4 for next week, if you take the time to read the passage ahead of time, take the time to read it, but don't just rush it. Enjoy it for just a few minutes. Quiet yourself. So the second S, beyond surrender, is silence. Just be quiet. Listen. Don't overtalk God. Let him talk to you. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he writes, let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need. It doesn't mean you don't tell the truth. It doesn't mean you don't offer honest criticism if it's constructive and helpful. But Paul goes on to say in Ephesians 4:29, so that your words may give grace to those who hear it. So that your words may give grace to those who hear it. So we have some things to practice this week, people. To bless, what is it? Oh, there it is, thank you. The next one, it says, to bless others with your words. Find something affirming to say, even if you've got an enemy at work. I don't know, maybe they're good to their cat. Something good to say about somebody else, even if they're not in the room. For what will it profit to gain the whole world and lose your soul? Jesus in Mark 8:36. Old Camelnes is still teaching this stuff today about taming the tongue and taming the thumb. What were we saying with the kids? Don't be a bully, be a blessing. Yeah. Amen.